بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome to Radio Islam International. You are listening to Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. Today we will be discussing children with special needs. How do mothers cope with these unique challenges? So tell me if you are you a mother of a child with special needs? Do you have any tips or advices for other mothers? Anything that you would like to share, come ladies, provide inspiration to others by WhatsApping me on 072-786-1548 or give us a call on 011-854-1548. You can also email me on Suraya, S-U-R-A-Y-A, at radioislamlive.com. Okay, so before we start with the interview, we're going to do conduct an interview after the break. Firstly, I want to share a story with you, and this is a very heart-wrenching article by a mother, Lily Mohsin. It really touched my heart, and I think it would for everyone who listens to it. So let's get into it. Okay. Not only was the cute little girl crying at the top of her lungs, she was wearing a red t-shirt. Those were all the triggers my son needed to attack her. And even though I'm known to have the memory of a goldfish, and this one incident happened many years ago, I still remember it vividly. It was supposed to be a beautiful day. We were at the playground, and I had that extra sense of triumph, of having everything under control. No shoes, no all cotton clothing with tags all cut out, and he hadn't had any sugar, fruits, or ketchup. So according to my calculations, the chances of him acting up were pretty low that day. I was miserably wrong. Even though it was a split second, it all happened in slow motion. I was holding my son's hand and carrying my baby girl in the other arm. The sounds of the cries echoed in my ears, and I saw the look on my son's face change. I quickly put my baby in her stroller as I felt his jaws clench and his little hand squirming away from my tight grip. He ran like a tiger towards the cute, innocent girl, and I knocked over a chair trying to catch up with him. I finally grabbed him from his shirt before he reached the girl, whom at this point had stopped crying from the shock of what was about to happen, yet she still had her mouth and eyes wide open. Her mom started screaming, which aggravated my son even more as he took out his anger on me. He slapped me hard on the face, swearing all kinds of obscenities, then kicked me in the stomach. Amidst the chaos, I motioned to the mom to take her girl and walk away, hardly missing the dirty look she gave me. "Some women are just not allowed to be mothers," I heard her tell her friends, who also turned around to stare me down. I bolted my son with my arms, only to find another woman tapping me on the back and handing me my screaming daughter. "You really shouldn't leave your baby unattended," she said with disgust. "It's not her fault you can't control your son." I thanked her with an inaudible whisper before deciding to never return to the playground again. My tears rolled down all the way home, not even feeling the pain of my son's teeth digging into my skin. Biting at that time was one of the few skills he used to calm himself down. I mustered all my energy to get through the tantrums and breaking of stuff, guarding my daughter's life from my son's sudden, unexpected blows till bedtime. Then I sat alone in the corner, just staring at the wall in utter silence, too drained to cry. After all, it was supposed to be a beautiful day. With a wide spectrum of disorders, ranging from ADHD, autism, to Down syndrome, every child is different and no one solid advice will cut it. Medications have catastrophic side effects, and some disorders have no known cures yet. I remember, after 2 weeks of constant testing, how uncomfortable I was when the doctor said, "You need to come to terms with your son's reality. Sugarcoating the truth will only set you up for a huge disappointment. Therapy can help him cope, but no one can heal him completely. God can heal my son, Miracles happen every day, I replied with conviction. And so I held on to my faith. I still put him in mainstream schools, got him shadow teachers, and demanded he gets the academic education that he needed. Denial was the only tool I had at my disposal until the powers of it ran out. I prayed for miracles, but nothing changed. I stayed up night after night asking Allah for help, my tears flowing non-stop as I begged and pleaded and supplicated for a solution. Mommy, what are you doing? My son asked one day. I'm talking to Allah, asking him for help with something, I said, wiping my tears. I want to talk to Allah too, my son said. I want to ask him not to make you sad anymore. Allah loves us so much and he's so kind. Do you really think he would want to make anyone sad? I asked. Hearing myself say those words, hypocrisy stared back at me with a smirk. If I was so sure of Allah's love, then why was I sitting here feeling sorry for myself, like I'm being punished for something I didn't do? Why was I trying to convince Allah that I have unwavering faith and then break down when he tests it? I will tell him I don't want a sad mummy, my son said, interrupting my thoughts. Give me Allah's phone number. My son's innocence replaced my bitterness with laughter. That day, I stopped waiting for a miracle, for I realized that you can't hope to swim without getting wet. You can't pass an exam without studying, and you can't jump high without bending your knees. I realized we need genuine faith for miracles to happen, and so I stopped begging Allah not to test me, because big rewards require huge efforts, and I'm truly desperate for the biggest reward of all, seeing Allah's face in Jannah. Subhanallah, Lily's article brought tears to my eyes the first time that I read it, and it just reminds you, all of these sisters remind you of people's everyday struggles, you know, and you don't realize by them, they don't even realize that by sharing their stories, they're giving people, other people hope. In whatever they may be experiencing, we may not have children with difficulties or challenges or special needs, but every person is definitely going through some sort of dilemma in their lives. And with people like this who share their trauma and share their experiences, it gives others faith as well. You know, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran in chapter 94, verse 5, so verily with every difficulty comes ease. So Allah never said that we're never going to face challenges. So we can't be disappointed. Allah has never told us that we won't. But what Allah has promised is that in every hardship, He will give us ease. So it's not going to be continuous hardship. With that hardship, He will give us ease. We just need to look for it, right? We need to look at the bigger picture. We can either resist the harsh reality that's in front of us, or we can accept the blessed truth that's behind it. It's amazing, really, how people go through these struggles. And the Quran and Sunnah is what will pull you through. A man once asked Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which of the people is tried most severely? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the prophets, then those nearest to them, then those nearest to them. A man is tried according to his religion. If he is firm in his religion, then his trials are more severe. And if he is frail in his religion, then he is tried according to the strength of his religion. The servant shall continue to be tried until he is left walking upon the earth without any sins. Subhanallah. So when we look at these trials, we think that how great must the faith of these mothers be? That Allah is testing them with such a huge amana, what such a huge responsibility. There's definitely something that's deep inside them that Allah loves. So instead of feeling sorry for people like this, what we need to do is actually take inspiration from them, look up to them, inshallah. These are amazing, amazing women. So you can start messaging me, send me your WhatsApps, and I will read them out, inshallah. If you have anything you would like to share, or if you are in this position and you need help, send us your requests or your questions. Inshallah, we will try and answer them. I have a message that's come through. I have a beautiful special son by the name of Yusuf, who I wouldn't trade for anything. I pray, inshallah, one day me and my beautiful son will meet in Firdaus and he will be healthy and we will be together forever praising Allah. What a glorious day that will be. Alhamdulillah. See, when you look at things this way, when you look at your test in this way, how can you go wrong? How can Allah be disappointed? This is when Allah is the closest to you. When you take these trials, turn it around, find the goodness and inspire others, inshallah. Keep those messages coming through on 072-786-1548 or you can call me after the break on 011-854-1548. Now, after the break, I'm going to play an interview that I conducted with the mother of a special needs child, Sister Yasmin Darabai. She's an amazing woman that I had the liberty and the honor of speaking to. Inshallah, after the break, you will have the opportunity to listen. Stay tuned. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome back to the program Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. Today we will be discussing children with special needs. I have a message that's come through. Salams, my son sounds like the son in the story that you read. Where can I go to get help? Inshallah, at the end of the program we will give out the number for help, inshallah, and I will message you. Okay, through Allah's grace and mercy, I had the honor of meeting a special woman, Sister Yasmin Darabai. She's a glowing, beautiful mother who's an absolute inspiration. We conducted an interview, which I'm going to play. I began by asking Sister Yasmin when she found out that her child was going to be born with Down syndrome.
Of course, but the support, I guess, does make it a bit, it helps if you have support.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I do apologize for the sound quality on that clip we have. I don't know what the problem is. Inshallah, we'll try and play it at a later stage. I'm so sorry about this. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay, let's see if we can do that again or maybe at a later stage, inshallah. Okay, so I'm quite sad that you couldn't listen to that interview because Sister Yasmin is quite amazing and she really did went through the interview calmly, collected, and I felt that people could really take lesson from her and because of her daughter. But I will try maybe and go through it. Basically, I just found out that the listeners couldn't hear her answers to the questions, but she did have a good, fairly normal pregnancy, well, normal in every other way, and she didn't know that she was going to be giving birth to a baby with Down syndrome, and she only found out after the baby was born. And she was taking us through how she felt, and she explained that it was like the wind knocked her and she just couldn't understand, and she went through the emotions of crying, etc. And it was a very difficult time for them as a family, but she did say that the support of her family really pulled them through, and she realized then, after the blood test confirmed that definitely her baby had Down syndrome, she then realized that there is no way to avoid it and she has to go through with it. And that is when she accepted Allah's faith and she went through the entire the bringing up her daughter and giving her the best loving home, etc. I'm going to try and get you to listen to that interview because obviously Sister Yasmin explains it much better than I would since she is giving it first hand. Okay, so I'm going to go through the steps that one takes when you have a child with special needs. So there are different things that you can do if you are a mother in this position. You can carry on with your WhatsApps. You can send it to me on 072-786-1548 or you can email me on Saveya at radioislamlive.com. Okay, so we're going to go through the different tips that this is by Dr. Darla Clayton, and she gives us 20 tips on how to deal with it. Firstly, she says you are not alone. So people are with similar challenges and you need to find them. So although you think that you're alone and you're looking around you and looking at everyone leading normal lives, there are people that are facing the similar challenges as you. So this way you can find support groups. And to the lady that messaged and asked where she can get help, there is the Neuropsychology of South Africa. You can email them on info@empoweringmother.co.za, or you can call Christine on 084-220-0548. They have an amazing support system for mothers with these challenges. So the second tip is, you two deserve to be cared for. So family and friends are there to help. Don't feel that you have to do this alone, because it's something that's huge. You need your family and friends. So if you feel that you just need that time out and you need them to babysit for that while, or you just can't make it to cook that evening, then ask for help. Don't feel shy. Ask for help. A lot of people offer. And take them up on it. Ask them if they could cook a meal for you, or if they could take care of the child while you away, or, you know, just for a few minutes of your own time, or your own relaxation. The third tip is, you aren't perfect and that's okay. So if you miss an appointment with the doctor, or if you send the child to school without his medication, or whatever it is, you aren't perfect. You are human. You have a lot of stresses that you're going through, and you need to give yourself this. And, you know, we all feel that, you know, other mothers are so much better than we are. You know, Mom of the Year award goes to her because she cuts the sandwiches in heart shapes and she does this and she does that. But we all can't be that mother. Do what you can for your child. Number four, you are a superhero. You're managing a situation that a regular parent really can't. So you're definitely a superhero. Understand that. Number five, therapy is play. So the fact that you're doing therapy with your child, use it as play. Use it and make sure that you're involving yourself in this play and you're being with your child and you're giving your child the support that they need. And on that, if therapy is play, then play is therapy. Remember that when you take your child for therapy, that is one thing, that is what they need, but they still need to play. So you still need to do the play activities with them, you know, where they get to be regular children that just play. Number seven, make time to enjoy your kids. So play, laugh, be silly, make memories outside those hospital walls. It's difficult, but you need to enjoy that time with your children. Number eight, you will be obligated to make heart-wrenching decisions. So you need to understand that you're doing your best, and this is enough for you. We all are doing our best, and obviously in this situation with a child with special needs, you're doing even more, and you're going to have to make certain decisions that are going to be difficult for you as a family, and you need to understand that you have to make those decisions. Number nine, you won't always get it right. Yes, we make mistakes. So you're going to have to learn from those mistakes. You're not going to get it right all the time. Forgive yourself. You need to. This is the hardest thing to do. When you are wrong, when you get things wrong, you need to learn to forgive yourself. If you're going to be hard and you're going to be stressed out, it's going to become more difficult for you as a parent, and you're going to find it harder to stand up for your child. Number 11. Being a parent is hard. Being a parent to a child with extra needs is extra hard. But it's also extra rewarding and extra passionate, right? So life is going to definitely going to be different. But it's going to be a good different a lot of the times, inshallah. Number 12, parenting a child is like a marathon. So parenting a child with special needs is like a marathon. There's no breaks. You're going to have to go and go and go and go and go. And the sooner you understand and accept it, then you will be more equipped to deal with the future. Number 13, don't lose yourself. Don't let it shape your identity. So you still need to be the person you are. This is not your identity. This is just a phase of your life or a new role that you're going to play. It's not who you are or your identity. So you still be the person that you are. If you loved painting, if you love cooking, still be that person. Still find time to do those things. Number 14, keep your sense of humor. Sometimes things are so difficult, you just can't do anything but laugh, right? So keep your sense of humor. Laugh at yourself. It's good. Number 15, celebrate the little things. So every milestone, every small thing, celebrate it for your child. Your child learned a new color. It's fine for every other child, but not for yours. It's a big deal for your child. So celebrate that moment. Number 16, don't let typical parents get you down. And you know what I mean by typical parents? The ones that think they know everything, but they don't know what your life entails. So they dish out advice, but they don't know anything about raising a special needs child. So don't let them get you down. And you know, most of the times, these people are honestly just ignorant. They're not trying to be nasty. They just don't know any better. So give them the benefit of the doubt and don't let it get to you. Number 17, don't compare. Yes, it's easy to understand. Yes, you can't compare your child to a child that doesn't have special needs. But I'm talking about comparing your child to another child with special needs. So you can be the same, having the same situation, your milestones will still be different. So don't compare your child. Number 18, you don't have to be that parent. The parent that's, you know, parent of the year. You don't have to be that parent. Number 19, make time for your marriage. Marriage is hard work, period. Parenting is hard work, period. So dealing with a marriage and a special needs child is even more difficult. So you need to make time for your marriage as well, because it's easy. And you know, average parents that don't have kids with special needs still have the challenges of marriage. I mean, you still get them saying that they don't have enough time for their husbands and they don't go out with them and they don't do this and they're losing themselves. So you can imagine what it must be like for parents who have special needs children. So this shouldn't be the be-all and end-all. You should still make time for your marriage and for your spouse. Number 20, trust your instincts. You know your child best. So yes, you will get the medical advice and all of that. And if your heart still tells you that there's something wrong, or your heart tells you something, listen to your heart. Go for a second opinion, because you know your child. And most of the time, a mother's instinct is right. Most of the time. So inshallah, those are just some of the tips that can help you. I hope it helps, inshallah. We're going to go for an ad break. When we get back, we will continue, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, we can't get that recording, but we did get hold of Sister Yasmeen, inshallah. We will try and do a few questions with her while she is on the line, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sister Yasmeen, can you hear me?
Assalamualaikum. How are you, Appa?
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Sister Yasmeen, if you can, inshallah, take us through how did you feel initially when you were told that you had a child with Down syndrome?
As I told you in the interview, Appa, it was It was a tremendous shock for me because I didn't expect it at all. I had a normal birth, and when I looked at her when she was born, she looked perfectly normal to me. So it was very confusing for me when I was told that my child has Down syndrome. I don't know what you expect when you look at the child with Down syndrome, what preconceived notions we have, but I really didn't believe them because it just didn't fit together. She was a beautiful baby, so how could she have Down syndrome?
Yeah.
So it was a mixture of shock, confusion, and it was a terribly scary time as well.
I can imagine. So, Sister Yasmin, what was your initial reaction?
Like I say, it was shock.
Shock.
But it's just total disbelief because there's no way you can wrap your head around because you just feel that this happens to other people. You hear it all the time. You know there's mothers who have children with special needs. You know there's children with special needs. But you just don't ever think it's going to be you.
Definitely.
So when you do find out that it's you, and when you do, the reality of it is just something. It's just too much because you're totally out of your comfort zone. What you thought your life was going to be, what you thought your child was going to be, it's now totally different. You've got a whole new ball game. So it's a tremendous shock. That's all I can say. But sugar to Allah. We make sabr, and as time goes by, shukr with me, I had support. I had support of my husband, my children, and together, and the rest of my family, my mother, all my family. You get through it. And eventually, you get to the other side. For me, shukr to Allah, that's why I'm saying the acceptance is a gift from Allah. So if you have that acceptance, appreciate it. And if you don't have the acceptance, make dua for the acceptance. Because you cannot move forward if you don't have that acceptance.
True.
And your child is your child, no matter what. I mean, we all love our children. We say we love our children no matter what. But when it happens to you, it's very different from saying you love your child no matter what to the way other mothers say it. Because you've got your own set of, everything is different for you.
And that's truly unconditional love,
yes,
I would say.
Totally unconditional love. Because it's your child at the end of the day, no matter what. And my experience was, even though it was shocking and it was scary initially, but today, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have shed a tear. And that is the honest truth. That is the honest truth from my heart. I wouldn't shed a tear. Because even though there are bad days, there are sad days, there are days that are frustrating, there are days when you wish things were maybe different. But the big picture is beautiful.
Alhamdulillah.
The big picture is positive.
Alhamdulillah.
So there's no need to complain. Shukr alhamdulillah.
Now, Yasmin, I had the honor and privilege of meeting little Aisha. Amazing, amazing Aisha. And I remember her smile because, I don't know, it's just a very sweet, cute little smile. And it's something that doesn't just fade away from your memory easily. So tell us, how has Aisha's presence in your life changed you as a person?
You know, I say, since she came into all our lives, and I speak on behalf of my whole family, but now obviously because I am the mother, it is very different because you were the child. And a mother is a mother. And the bond between the mother and child is unique to any other bond in the world. So she's changed my life in so many ways. But most of all, she's made me value the little things. She's made me see beauty in the little things. She's made me stop putting so much of emphasis on perfection. Because to me, to the world, a child with Down syndrome, I mean, it's inconceivable. How can she be perfect? But to me, she is perfect. She truly is perfect to me. So perfection is just this notion we have in our head. We put standards and we think things are supposed to be like this and like this and like this. But it's not. And that's what she's taught me most importantly, to be happy with something that is not up to standard of the rest of the world.
This is so true, because if we look at it, our lives are supposed to be imperfect because we designed for Jannah, which is perfect.
Exactly.
So we need to accept it.
Exactly. Life here is not supposed, but if you see the perfection in the imperfect, your life can be a Jannah here. You can make it yourself. You can make it a misery and you can cry from morning till night. But at the end of the day, who does that help? Who does it? That doesn't help anybody.
That's
you
so
need
true.
Pick yourself up, and the sooner you pick yourself up, the better. Because the longer you stay in that dark, pitiful hole of yours, the harder it is to pull yourself out of it.
I'm sure. And Yasmin, with regards to your husband, how has this affected your relationship?
You know, like I told you about already, he loves his child so much. And I know, I don't know if people can understand that for a mother to love her own, her child, it's much easier than a father to love their child. It's just natural for a mother. But he loves her so much. And we've been on the same page with Aisha from day one. So we are, every step of the way, we were doing it together. When she needed grommets, we did it together. When she needed whatever it may be, whether it's a small toy or a... There was never ever arguments concerning Aisha, because she was number one for both of us. So in that way, I can never say that she was a source of friction between us or a source of fights or arguments. She just brought everybody together because her presence is just beautiful. She's just amazing to be around. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Okay, we're running out of time. I'm going to ask you one more question, inshallah. If there was one piece of advice you could give other parents, can you tell us what it could be?
I think don't ever give up on your own child, because it is so important that you have faith in your own child. So even if the days are dark and if things seem impossible, but if you give up on your own child, there is no hope for your child. So try and try and try, and whatever obstacles you have, there is a tomorrow. If you can't do it today, leave it. Give yourself a break. Give your child a break. But don't ever say, my child will never do this, or my child. Don't give up the hope in your own child. Because then you are at a loss. Then you have nothing left to go to. And love your child. That is the best therapy. Everything else, speech therapists, games, toys, whatever it may be, your love as a mother is the best therapy for your child.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can find that pure love in your heart for your child is going to be okay.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah, Sister Yasmin, for your time after conducting the interview.
Jazakallah. And if you can make a small dua for all our children.
Inshallah.
And the families of the children.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah. Okay.
Okay, so there you have it. Our amazing sister Yasmin Darabai. May Allah grant her the highest stages of Jannah for coming on twice. But Alhamdulillah, Allah knows best why things happen. And Alhamdulillah, we had the opportunity of listening to her again. A beautiful, inspirational sister who doesn't realize how much of inspiration she gives to others. I didn't get to ask her about her daughter, but from the interview I can quickly tell you, she says her daughter is an absolutely confident young lady, who is so overconfident, and she says, Mommy, isn't I the best? So Alhamdulillah, you can see she's brought up in a home full of love. She has two older sisters who are doting over her, Alhamdulillah. So this is the way, I think it's a great lesson for all of us. This is the way to bring up our children. We are really running out of time, but we have two messages. I'm going to read it out quickly. What a blessed and beautiful job, Sister Yasmin. It takes a genuine soft heart to deal with these angels. Allah bless you and thank you for making my heart smile with joy. Another one, Sister Yasmin, you touched my soul. You spoke so genuinely and with so much love for your daughter and for Allah. May you and your family be blessed in every way. So to all you beautiful mothers out there, may you be the best mothers to your child, and may Allah grant you ease in raising your child. May He ease every single difficulty that you're going through, inshallah, and may He make it easy for all of you. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata ayun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Until next week, Tuesday, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.